We've opened up the Time Traveler Hotline. If you're a time traveler with unique insights and perspectives you'd like to share with us this evening, then give us a call at the following number, 818-817-0021. 818-817-0021. My guests for this 4 hours, William Burns, Joel Martin, paranormal researchers, investigators. We've been discussing the possibilities of time travel, time slip phenomena, and how living multiple lives in alternate realities could cause false memories. We were just speaking before the break with Joel Martin about ghosts and our experiences with them. Are we truly dealing with the dead, or are we dealing with slips in time? And Joel, you were about to tell us your one and only experience with ghosts, and you believe that it fits into this paradigm. Tell me a little bit about that.
I was in Bonn, Germany, visiting somebody who was very, very ill, who was in hospital. And I had no car with me because it was just not convenient. So we were able to walk from one place to the other. It's not that huge a city. It's a good-sized town, but you could walk. And I walked to a place called the Bonn Basilica. And the Bonn Basilica is just this gorgeous old church. It's got to be 800 years old at least. I mean, it's just incredible. It's just absolutely beautiful. So I went to a midday. I'm not Catholic, but I went to a midday mass there with a friend to sit and to pray for the person who was ill. And as we're sitting there on the bench, the pew, whatever it's called, it was about 1997, my attention is diverted from the priest, who was magnificent. Couldn't understand a word he was saying in German. I turned to the right because I saw a shadow. And as I look, I see somebody in the shadows off to my right and the right side of the church. So I figured it was somebody working, and then I looked a little closer, and it appeared to be a nun. But the nun was wearing a habit of the kind that they haven't worn since Vatican II, at least, not certainly in this country. But she was wearing an old-fashioned habit. And I looked, and she started to walk closer. And I won't repeat the word I said on the radio. It wasn't exactly spiritual. But I said, holy. And it was just a shadow. It was just a series of dots as it came closer and closer. And it was the shape of a person, a small, somewhat stocky person, but clearly that of a nun. Could not see any features, strictly a silhouette, like a with the dots, just a shadow. She walked behind me, put a shawl over me, a cloth, not a real cloth, but what felt like a shawl. She continued to walk to my left, but I was sitting near the wall of that section of the church. She walked past me, behind me, and right through the wall, and I did not know what to do. For a moment, I thought I was going to die. Then I was in panic, and I just sat there. I said, what the heck just happened? Well, the young lady I was with is a devout Roman Catholic, and it took me 3 days to work up the courage to ask her. And I said, can you tell me what happened to me if I tell you what happened? And I explained the whole thing to her. And she said, you saw an apparition of a nun. I said, why did you put a shawl over me? She said, it's called in Catholicism the shawl of protection. Now, I had no idea what that was. I wasn't asleep. It wasn't anything that I was raised with. And here was this nun that actually, you would call a ghost, I guess, or an apparition, walked up to me, behind me, put on the shawl, and then took off right into the wall, all very slowly, as if she was floating. I had never in my life had an experience like it and before, and I certainly never had one since. And I don't know what it means, but I can tell you this, it was extremely, extremely comforting. And it made me realize that science and religion really are overlapping. I mean, you can define it any way you want, but it happened. And I don't really take well somebody saying, you're making it up. I don't handle that too well because I know I would never, ever lie about something like that.
And it was your personal experience. That's what we say. Skeptics right. are nothing but believers that have yet to have their own experience.
Exactly.
And talking about the ghost phenomena, talking about these moments, I find with all the research we've done and the guests we've had over the 9 years on our show, Darkness Radio, I always find it intriguing how many people encounter a ghost that seems as surprised, if not more surprised, by seeing you. And will take off running in an opposite direction. And you think of places like Waverly Hills Sanitarium, Rolling Hills Estates, the Queen Mary, the Stanley Hotel, where people will encounter these ghosts in the hall, and yes. the ghosts turn around and run. And then you realize that the history and the hauntings have been there for 30, 40, 50 years. Sure. Were they seeing us? And were we what frightened them and what haunted them from their perspective? Was that what started this whole cyclical nature of the haunting that took place in this spot? We're going to take a break. We've opened up phone lines. We've got the Time Traveler Hotline open at 818-817-0021. We've got callers lining up, and we'll take your calls, your questions, and experiences next. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Do you believe in the prospect of time travel? Do you believe that it's taking place currently? Are we being visited by time travelers from our own future? Are we interfering and crossing over our own timelines? Phone lines are open. We're going to talk about that now with our callers. Joining me also for the evening, William Burns. He's been talking to us. And again, Bill, you said you believe that time travel does exist.
Yes, I do. I fully believe it. I believe that I have heard. First of all, here's a personal time travel story. Okay. I'm not a time traveler, but this took place at the MUFON convention in 2004. And I was one of the speakers, and I kept getting these messages on the hotel phone from somebody saying, "You've got to call me back. You've got to call me back. This is urgent. This is like the red light is flashing." Finally called the person back, and I'm getting faxes through the hotel from this person. Call him back, and he's telling me people are tracking me from the future. And, you know, my normal reaction is, okay, fine, we're dealing with a psychological phenomenon here. The person is delusional. And he starts telling these stories about how his brother was involved with the clandestine services, one of the three-letter agencies. And he'd done something, and there were people that were tracking him. And no matter what this caller did, somebody would cross his path. And they said, "We need information, and you have this information, and you better give it up." And I said, "Boy, this guy, it sounds like the Marathon Man movie." But this person keeps talking about it. And then he finally says, "Look, they are telling me that a piece of information is on this IBM computer." This is not a John Titor story. "That it's on this IBM computer that hasn't really been developed yet, but it's in development now." And he gives this thing a name, which name I forgot. And he's saying, "I am being tracked from the future. You've got to help me." Okay, I said, "Fine, we can talk later on when I get back to my office." Well, I'm sitting in the Rochester airport with one of the MUFON directors. His name is Jan Harzan, and he was an IBM engineer. And I'm telling him this story. And I dropped the name of the computer that this guy gave me, with Eagle or something. And Jan says to me, "How do you know about this? That is top secret. That is in the early stages of development. Who told you this?" And I told him the story, and he said, "That really can't be." Then there's a guy sitting behind us at the airport, and he turns around, and he overheard our conversation, and he says, "I used to work for the NSA as a language translator, and I am telling you now that the NSA has computers," this would have been 2004, "that the NSA has computers so advanced that when NASA wanted to use one of their computers for doing some simulations for space travel, they wouldn't let him do it." He said, "That computer that you're talking about, that actually exists in greater development." And he knew about that computer. So, I mean, that's my one and only real personal time travel story.
William J. Burns, he may not be a time traveler, but our time travel hotline is open. And we're going to go to Charlottesville, Virginia, on the time travel hotline. Rabbi Shauna joining us Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. I want to preface before I talk about my experiences of 9/11 growing up in New York with the fact that I think I've always been an intuitive. I had a near-death experience at 11, and I was able to, I can't remember to this day, but I remembered prior life. As Einstein says, matter cannot be destroyed. At 14, 5 minutes before Oswald was shot, I had the vision in my head at 14. And also, and when I was in my late 40s, I'm sitting in New York in Greenwich Village and feeling both my mother and my father, who had been deceased, sitting next to me, and it was very comforting. Now, what happened in 9/11 was a very quietude, almost similar to the Shell Scream painting, the famous painting that's in a museum. There was a quietude that I couldn't explain. 1 night before 9/11 happened, I dreamt that a plane went into a building. Had I told anybody, they probably would have locked me up. I am a theologian. I'm also a holistic practitioner and intuitive. And in Kabbalah, which I do teach, we do teach of parallel universes. We do teach, we are so distracted in our society with all of the noise. To paraphrase Buddhism and Kabbalism, is that only through quietude, only through silence, can we actually hear. So I felt something 3 weeks before 9/11 happened, and I dreamt 1 night before the planes. My colleague also, that morning, was walking on 23rd Street, kept looking up, kept feeling and saying to her husband, there's something that's going to fall out of the sky. There's no coincidences. There's no accidents. I do believe in the past, and I do believe in holding on to the future, too. What we can do about it, that I haven't got the answer. If I did, I'd probably be worth millions. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling and sharing your story with us. The Time Traveler line is open, 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. If you are a time traveler listening to the show and you have some insights and perspective you'd like to share with us, if you can tell us specifics about what is coming up that we can note on tonight's show, we're very interested in speaking with you. Let's go east of the Rockies, Ed, in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us this evening?
Hi, yeah, I just had a question for your guest about time slips between alternate realities or alternate timelines. For example, when something happens and all records of it disappear from it ever happening, real Twilight Zone kind of experience, where, for example, you do or say something, and somehow all record of you ever doing it or saying it disappears. For example, like a friend had a conversation about something he had done, and he talked to this about several people, and all records, you know, chatting online, and all records of the chats disappeared. There's just some weird phenomena like that I've heard about before. I was just curious if your guest had any thoughts on traveling between alternate timelines.
Well, Bill, why don't we start with you? What are your thoughts on the ability of traversing between the timelines?
I think that people actually do traverse between timelines. I think that at times of extreme stress, when your nervous system is overloaded, you actually can jump a timeline. And I do think that timelines change. I mean, I have had this experience feeling as though the world has changed around me, but I myself haven't changed. And so I think that's a very common experience. And one of the things Joel brought up earlier about people tend to deny this. We like to live in our own bubbles. And we have this overlay of reality. And we don't like that overlay challenged or shifted. So even though we may experience these, I call them paranormal events, where the timeline shifts around you, where you actually move to another time switch track, you deny it and you keep on going, but things have changed. So I think this is more common than people want to realize, and it happens to more people than people will admit.
Joel, what's your thoughts on it?
Pretty much the same. I think it is happening
a lot more than most people are aware of. In other words, it's happening to people, but we tend to deny it. We tend to discourage it. This goes across the board for the paranormal. When my daughter was a little girl in elementary school, the teacher asked one day, tell us what the adult you live with at home does for a living. And so they went around the room, doctor, dentist, you know, pharmacist, whatever. And they get to her and she says, oh, well, my daddy speaks to people who come from flying saucers and others who are vampires. And then there were ghosts. And they called me up to school. They thought she was having some kind of a psychotic break, I guess. And I said, no, you dummies. I'm a talk host. Those are the guests she was describing. But that's the way we teach people. Oh, dear, that's just your imagination. And that's what happens to us. But no, what Bill said is essentially my opinion also. It's real. And it's happening. From one dimension to the other, we're going between time travel. Essentially, it is the concept of moving between different points in different points in space. So,
I'll mention this story with a bit of reluctance. I certainly want to preface it by saying that I do not condone the idea of mind altering substances, nor do I think that people should be experimenting with it. In my youth, I was, I had experimented with a few narcotics, and I had a very strange moment in time slip. And I've actually talked to a few religious practitioners, priests, and pastors about this moment. And does time travel? Could this exist? Very strange experience where I was actually altered, and I was in a movie theater with a friend of mine. While we were sitting in the theater having a regular conversation, my consciousness would flip, where I was in a theater with red curtains, suddenly it would shift and I was in a theater with blue curtains. The people that were behind me were still there, and the conversation that I was having with my friend would shift. You know, in one conversation we're talking about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, the other one we're talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I'm having a hard time with my consciousness trying to go between these moments. My friend in both realities seems to know what's going on, when suddenly I had a very strange experience with the people behind me. I stopped talking and I said, okay, here's what's going on right now. The man and the woman behind me are talking about the fact that their dog is missing and the woman is crying. And as I make this comment and I shift back into this reality, the guy and woman behind me lean forward and said, the guy goes, what did you just say? And I said, I'm having a really weird hallucinatory moment here. I said, but I keep popping between this and an alternate reality of this theater, and I'm listening to you and your girlfriend talk about your dog missing, and she's crying. And he looked at me and he said, are you joking around with us? I said, no, why? He goes, almost a week ago exactly, we were here sitting in these exact same seats, and we were very upset because we had lost our dog. And it went missing, and we haven't had this. And he goes, you've got to be joking with us, right? Is this a joke? And I said, no. And then when I popped back into that reality, I turned around to look at this couple to verify that it was the same couple. I made a few more comments to them, and bam, I was back into this reality in the midst of a sentence to them that I didn't know where the conversation was going. Now, it's easy to say, well, I was on mind-altered substances, but the weird part about this was, much like a lucid dream or a dream visitation,
yes,
it is just as clear to me as this moment that we're all sharing right now, this break between the two realities and having this moment. And my friend still remembers this and remembers the couple behind us. You know, were we dipping in and out of realities? Were we talking in different timelines? Was that third eye, the pineal gland, opened and allowed me to go into this? Strange circumstances. We're taking your calls. We've got phone lines open, and if you're a time traveler, you have something you'd like to share with us tonight, a prediction, something that you'd like to open up to us about, give us a call at 818-817-0021. 818-817-0021. Be a part of the show with us, and if you like shows like this, then join me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight, when I host Darkness Radio. You can check it out at darknessradio.com. And when you stream the show live, keep it right there, because after Darkness Radio, George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey into the strange. We'll be back with more Coast to Coast AM right after this. Last night, I mentioned, for those of you bored this weekend looking for some great movie fare, one of my all-time favorite time travel movies, I'll mention that again. I've pared down. A lot of people hit me up with, well, what are your top 10? I limited it to the top five, and I actually cheated a little bit. I'd say in the fifth position, if you're bored this weekend looking for a couple of fun movies to watch, tied for the fifth position, Hot Tub Time Machine and Time Cop. Two fun movies. No real thought power put behind them, but just entertaining all the way around. In my number four position, Time After Time. Great movie starring Malcolm McDowell. And great time premise with H.G. Wells and Jack the Ripper. Then, of course, the classic Somewhere in Time with Jane Seymour and Christopher Reeve. My top two picks are both recent movies. Safety Not Guaranteed. If you didn't see that one, it's a great little sleeper hit. I'd highly suggest it. I know it's on Netflix and out in Redbox and some of the other versions. Check out Safety Not Guaranteed. My number one pick, I honestly think this is one of my all-time favorite movies of the last few years, but certainly in the time travel realm, is About Time. Came out last year. Absolutely love it. Check it out. Those are my top five picks for time travel movies. Here's a quick little email. Dave, my mom had an experience in Rome once that we always thought of as a strange experience. However, after listening to the show, I'm wondering if it's some sort of time travel. We were in Rome on vacation. I was maybe 12 years old. Because of an unexpected train strike, we only got to spend one day in Rome. Well, you can't go to Rome and not see the Colosseum. My mom, dad, sister, and our friends and I went on a tour. When you see the Colosseum, there are only a few places to walk. You can look down into all the different levels of the structure. The tour guide will tell you this is where the slaves were, this is where they kept the animals, etc. And as we were walking through, I looked over at my mom. She had turned sheet white. She was shaking and trembling. She asked to leave, and so we left the tour and went back to find a cool place to sit down. When we finally got Mom to talk, she told us that she had been in a different time. She could smell the blood, the roar of the crowd. She said that none of us were with her. She could hear the screams of the slaves and the noises of the animals. She said she was overwhelmed by the smells and sounds and felt she had to leave. Several years later, we returned to Italy and to the Colosseum, but did not have the same experience. To this day, she still says that the event was too vivid to be a dream or part of her imagination. So, I don't know. Was this somehow transported for a moment into another time, or maybe had a fleeting moment of psychic sensitivity? Thanks for reading my story, and that comes to us from Becky. We talked about near-death experiences, reincarnation. Joel, do you think this could have been a moment where perhaps this was a past life, and as she stepped into that realm, her energy may have merged with another timeline that she existed in that spot? Do you think that could have been a shared life experience from a past life?
Oh, gosh, yeah. There are so many of those. Again, that too is a universal experience. I've heard so many, many anecdotes or stories like that. No question about it. That's not the woman's imagination. There's nothing wrong with her. It's exactly that. It's exactly what you said. Sure.
Joel Martin, our guest, William J. Burns. We'll take our final break. We'll be back with your calls. We've got another caller on the Time Traveler Hotline. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Coast to Coast AM right after this. Joel Martin, our guest for the full 4 hours. Check out his website at spiritualtruth.com and the one and only Mr. William J. Burns. Check out UFOMag.com for more information on him, his work, and what's coming up next in his world. We're taking your calls now as we discuss time travel. Let's go to the Time Traveler Hotline, Diane in Everett, Washington. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. That last story made me cry. But anyway, I'll tell you my story, gentlemen. I could never meditate. I know I've walked out the door and I've time traveled just automatically, but I've never been able to meditate. And my best friend is a psychic, and she gave me some tapes where this man leads you into meditation, and she told me it'll work. Well, one day I quieted myself and I quieted my circumstances, and I sat down and I put on the tape and put on my massager, and all I can tell you, I don't know when I went or how I went, or the circumstances, but all of a sudden, I am in the ship, and I know it's an aircraft, some type of craft, airplane, some sort of ship, and I know I'm high up, perhaps on a ceiling. And I'm looking down, and to my right, I see this pilot of the craft, and it's a man. And he's wearing this brilliant tangerine jumpsuit, and he's very relaxed. He has one arm just over the back of his chair, but I can't see his face. But there are windows around where he's piloting, and it's all blackout, but I can see all brilliant lights. So I assume it's space. Okay, I look at that. Now I want to see the ship. So I look to my left. I look to my left, and I see these rows of seats, and they're like when you go into a restaurant and go into a booth, and the rows of seats, there's four of them, and they're brilliant orange. And then there's a wall surrounding them, and it's yellow. Now, that's all I see there. So I turn my attention back to the pilot, and now he's out of his seat, and he has seen me. And he is frightened. He is darting back and forth in between the rows of seats, and he's bending, and he's covering his head. I can see his brown hair, and I can see his eyes, but he's covering his head. He keeps on ducking. I don't know if I'm this large eye or if I'm this energy that he sees, but all of a sudden, he decides to come close to me, and he stands on his toes up to me. His head is still bent. Now he slowly raises his head, and I see what I see. Do you have any idea what I saw?
What?
He had the face of an ape.
He had the face of an ape?
A face of an ape. A very clean face of an ape. Groomed hair. It was very clean. In this, and his hands and everything that I saw covering his head and ducking were of a man. But his face and his eyes just sparkled. And he looked at me as if, you know, don't hurt me. And he showed me his face. And I, whatever I was stunned, just stunned when I saw his face. And then I woke up. Then I came out of the meditation. And all on my T-shirt, I was wet, just wet from
the
experience.
So you believe that your consciousness time travel and put you on board this craft? Did you believe that you were in a future?
I keep on in my mind going back, what happened to the ape man? Because there's that gap in between the ape man and the Egyptian. What happened? So did they develop, you know, did they leave here and we're left with the Yeti man and the, you know, the other one, and they did evolve. They did evolve. And I feel I was in something that evolved also, but it was the caveman. And that, yeah.
Did you hear any noise? Did you smell any smells and hear any noise?
No, just the brilliance of the colors. And knowing that I was up high and you know, frightened him terribly, but he decided to come near, and I was struck by the gentleness in his face.
Were you frightened?
Was I frightened?
Yes.
No. I just was out stunned completely when I saw his face.
Now, you said that you've time traveled before. Have you gone primarily to the future or to the past?
I've gone out my door and been in a park and looked up at the sky, and all of a sudden I'm up the street and I'm looking at a sky that is not of our world. And I'm in this space and I am seeing things in the sky that is not of our world, but is perfectly natural for where I'm at, perfectly natural, and things like that.
You know, it could be that you actually made a dimensional shift, that there are parallel realities. I mean, mathematically, that's kind of been proven mathematically, that there are parallel realities, parallel dimensions, maybe as many as 10 dimensions or more. And it could well be that your ability to meditate is so extreme, so excellent, actually, that you are actually able to make a shift to another dimension. So what you're seeing might not be the future, might not be the past, but a totally different dimension. And in that dimension, it was, let's just say, a Yeti or a Sasquatch or a Neanderthal or a caveman that never evolved into Homo sapien or Cro-Magnon man, and that's what you're seeing in that development timeline.
That you put it into the words what I think.
Thank you, Diane. We appreciate your call. And please keep us in mind if you see anything in the future that you need to share with us. Is there any warning, anything that we should be aware of coming in our future? Oh, she must be gone. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Terry in Los Angeles, welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Good early morning, gentlemen. And do I feel lucky to be able to tell this story to such a panel as yours. The year was 1956. It was May. I was a senior in high school and very excited as I went to school on this Friday, because that afternoon when school was out, we were going to have a full run through of our first full run through of a play that we were going to be opening in 2 weeks. And the day was crawling through, of course, when you're so excited for the day to get by. And drama class happened third hour. And during third hour, somebody remarked they had not seen Dwight in period two. And I knew that meant we wouldn't have the run-through because he had one of the major roles, and that meant that we wouldn't do the run-through. It would be a waste of our time because he wasn't double-cast. But during drama class, a very strange thing happened. The principal and the drama teacher, they didn't come in to get class going. The drama teacher and the principal talked quietly at the back of the auditorium, moving in and out into the hallway. Didn't put us to work, which is very unusual because he was kind of a Svengali. You could not be sitting there doing nothing. He'd cut your head off. Anyway, so we sat there and kind of had a free period, and everybody was wondering what's up. And when I went down after school to where we would be making scenery and painting props and things like that, there was a sign on the door saying no activities, which was a real shocker because 2 weeks before the show, we're knocking ourselves out to get things done. So I walked home, and it just so happened that the South Bend Tribune happened to be already thrown up on our porch, and I sat down, opened it up, and it said, Central High School student slain. And there was a picture of Dwight, the one who was not in period two. And then I knew why all this quietness and no activities. Teachers were not allowed to tell us what had happened. We were going to find out that this awful thing had happened in our homes and over the news that night. Well, I happened to idolize this fellow. I thought he was just almost God walking on earth because his father was a minister, and he was one of the best people I'd ever known. And I was so infuriated at God for letting this happen to this young man who was going to grow up and be a minister like his father. I tore up the stairs to, I was studying Catholicism at the time, and I had a little altar. And I rushed into my bedroom, and I threw all my holy items all over the room, screaming at God, how could you let this happen? How could you let this happen? And I couldn't go down to dinner. I was sobbing and having fits of anger and just pouring tears out the whole evening. And I went to bed that night doing the same thing. And then I woke up, and my eyes were still wet. And all I could think of was, oh, God, that happened Thursday. We got the news on Friday. It's Saturday morning. I just can't believe this. And I'm standing looking out the window into the backyard, and my brother comes out of his room on his way to the bathroom, and he says, what's the matter? And he was 3 years younger than I, and I just shook my head and waved, go away, go away. He's my younger brother, and I don't want him to see that I've been bawling. And he said, well, what's the matter? And I said, just go on, just go on. He said, no, tell me what's the matter. And I said, Dwight, Dwight. And he said, what do you mean, Dwight Overholser? And I said, yes, Dwight Overholser. He said, well, what about him? And I said, well, where the hell have you been? He's dead. Dad, why? God, don't you read the paper? He says, well, I don't know, but you better get moving because you're going to be late for school. And I said, it's Saturday morning. Dwight was killed on Thursday. It was in Friday's paper. Saturday morning, he says, Terry, it's Friday morning. You better get moving because you're going to be late for school. I couldn't believe it. I thought, go check it out. We took the Chicago Tribune, got delivered in the morning, and I tore down the stairs and opened the Chicago Tribune, and it said Friday morning. Then I rushed back to the den to open the paper in which his picture, Dwight's picture, would have been, and it said Thursday. So Friday was starting all over again. And when I got to school, I thought, this is before the Twilight Zone, by the way. No such thing as being discussed openly among people at that time. The first two periods were totally different than what had happened my first Friday, the day before. And in drama class, I asked if anybody had seen Dwight. Oh, yeah, he was in second period. So this second Friday happened without that incident registering. And I was so relieved, and I saw him in a cafeteria lunch line. And I rushed up to him, and I said, Dwight, you have no idea how glad I am to see you, because I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if it was a dream, but yesterday you were dead. Yesterday's Friday. So I had two Fridays, and I had it was a full Friday. I know everybody wants to say right away, well, you just dreamt it. But it was a full Friday with every second in it. And I've gone to many psychics and other people about this, and I've heard some really interesting explanations from you cared enough about this person that time changed for you to, no, you just had a full day's dream to, oh, I can't remember any of the other ones right now, but two Fridays in a row, one a tragic and the other one with it cleared up. That's my story. And it was my first experience of this kind. There have been others since then.
Thank you so much. That is a fascinating story. Very, very impactful. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us. I want to thank you, Bill, for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure, as always, to have you here. Joel, for being a part of the show with us. And I'm curious, we only have a few minutes left together. Bill, do you believe that the Nazca lines, the astronaut that you see, the spaceman, and things like the hieroglyphs in Egypt where they show the bird gods or the man gods that came from the skies with the helmets and microphones in front of their mouths, is that proof that time travel did take place, that we have interfered in our own timelines, do you believe?
Yeah, I think so. I think that that's one level of proof, that you see these images of space helmets, individuals with beams coming out of their heads in the Sumerian cuneiforms. You see them in Native Americans, even in Arizona, out in the desert on the rock images. And I think that the image of the models of that strange-looking bird from Mesoamerica 1,000 years ago, and then we scaled that model up to a balsa wood model without modifying any of the specifications, just scaling them up, and it flew. And it flew like the space shuttle landing. So I believe that human beings from the future, maybe our own future, I think our own future, traveled into the past, and we are in some kind of a time loop where we're interfering with ourselves, and that would explain so many of these anomalies.
Time travel, alternate realities, parallel universes, deja vu phenomena. It's been a hell of a ride this evening. Thank you all for joining me and being a part of the show. I want to thank our great staff, Gina and Brian, always amazing. Engineer right here in my hometown, Tim Dennis. Again, big thanks to Lisa Lyon and George Norrie. And, of course, our guests for the evening, Bill Burns, Joel Martin, Andrew Bishago, and Major Paul Smith, and all of the fantastic callers sharing their stories. I'm sorry for the calls we couldn't get to. Thank you for sharing your evening and weekend with me. I'll be back again the mid part of September. And remember, check out our show Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Central, the best in paranormal talk radio, darknessradio.com. And then stay tuned, because right after our live show, George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey. Thank you again for tuning in. Be safe, love one another, and I'll be back again with you real soon.